Amén. Let us now open the scriptures and I'll read to you from John 14. We'll read the whole chapter, John 14. And we'll read that in connection with the sermon on Lord's Day 18 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which deals with the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that John 14 deals with Christ who is going to leave his disciples and later come back, and that he's also going to send the other helper, the Holy Spirit. So John 14, we'll read together. Hear the word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave you with. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he is nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. As mentioned earlier, this afternoon I wish to preach God's word as we confess that in Lord's Day 18 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 18, that's page 532 in the Book of Praise. So we'll read that together, Lord's Day 18. And there the questions are asked and answered. What do you confess when you say, He ascended into heaven, that Christ, before the eyes of his disciples, was taken up from the earth into heaven, and that he is there for our benefit until he comes again to judge the living and the dead? Is Christ not with us until the end of the world, as he has promised us? Christ is true man and true God. With respect to his human nature, he is no longer on earth. But with respect to his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never absent from us. But are the two natures in Christ not separated from each other? If his human nature is not present, wherever his divinity is, not at all. For his divinity has no limits and is present everywhere. So it must follow that his divinity is indeed beyond the human nature which he has taken on, and nevertheless is within this human nature and remains personally united with it. How does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? First, he is our advocate in heaven before his Father. Second, we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Third, he sends us his Spirit as a counterpledge, by whose power we seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and not the things that are on earth. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't the ascension of Christ a great loss for us here on earth? Jesus Christ lived, walked, worked here on earth. He was truly one of us. And he associated with people around him. He spoke of the Father, and the people heard his voice. They were amazed at his teaching. He healed the sick, performed signs and miracles. All this is now over. Christ ascended into heaven. We can no longer physically see or hear him. He doesn't physically come to us to heal our sick, And thus there is that difficult path of illness and suffering many must walk. The wish can arise, would that the Lord Jesus was here in our midst. Then it could be so different. Then those among us who experience illness and pain might have better prospects. Doesn't the ascension of Christ point to a great loss for us on earth? Isn't it a sad reality? Well, no, beloved, thankfully not. We do not become poorer through Christ's ascension. On the contrary, we become richer because of it. There is progress in Christ's work. In John 14, verse 12, Christ even speaks of greater works that will be done because of his ascension. Without his ascension, the Holy Spirit would not have been poured out. The gospel would not have reached you and me. The church wouldn't be gathered from across the globe. Christ went to heaven for our salvation and empowerment. Christ's ascension is only gain for us, his followers. Now, consider this. When I preach to you, Christ's homecoming in Father's heavenly presence guarantees our glorious homecoming. So Christ's homecoming in Father's heavenly presence guarantees our glorious homecoming. Now, we consider 2 points. Firstly, Christ ascended as our Saviour and Advocate and works in heaven. Secondly, through his Spirit, Christ is with his church and works here on earth. Beloved, you probably all know the expression, God did not promise smooth sailing, but a safe homecoming. A phrase that appeals to us, especially when we face suffering and death. No smooth sailing, but a safe homecoming. Well, beloved, in John 14, the chapter we read, Christ talks about that safe homecoming that he's going to take care of. In the night in which the Lord Jesus eats the Passover with his disciples, Jesus talks about the Father's house. Jesus is facing his most severe suffering. That same night, he will be betrayed and arrested. In the last few days, there was already a lot of anxiety among his followers. The Lord spoke several times about his impending death and departure. His followers don't understand it, but they're greatly distressed at the thought of their master going away. Why does he need to leave? Where does he plan to go? Will we see him again? And how will we possibly get along in this world without him? These are questions they struggle with, that trouble his disciples. And notice that Jesus brings comfort to his followers. That's what John 4 is all about. Jesus is comforting his disciples concerning his departure. And not only does he comfort the 11 remaining disciples on the night of his betrayal and arrest, but by way of his extension, he also comforts you and me who live and struggle in this age between Christ's ascension and return. How does Christ then comfort his disciples and us? He tells us what to do. It's a command. Let not your hearts be troubled. When your hearts are anxious, hear your Saviour's command. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also me. Even though you're now going to experience terrible things, don't worry. Hold on to the faith. Hold on to God and to me, your Saviour. Place all your trust also in me. Jesus goes further than this as he comforts his disciples. He assures them that his departure is for a good reason. I'm going to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. It is clear that Jesus is talking about heaven. Heaven is a place where God dwells. Yes, it's true, there is a sense in which God is everywhere. But heaven is a place where his glory dwells, where God is worshipped day and night by his heavenly host. Jesus refers to this place as my Father's house. I'm indeed going away, says the Lord Jesus, but I'm going home to my Father to enter his heavenly presence as your Lord and Saviour, as a sign of victory and complete redemption. Father's the one who sent me to you in this world to fulfill all righteousness on your behalf as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And once I've done that, for your salvation, I need to return to the Father to present to him my accomplished work and to receive my crown as reward. I'm not coming home just for my sake, but also for your sake, to assure that you also receive a glorious homecoming. If you realize this, then you would rejoice that I'm going to my Father. Yes, to be at home with Father is the highest goal in any life. It's salvation, eternal bliss. Unbelievable. It's about Father's honour and glory, and therefore also about the honour and glory of all Father's children. Brothers and sisters, how should we imagine the house of the Father? When we talk about our own house, we usually don't just talk about the building structure, the walls and the roof. We usually think more about our home. And then we think much more about what it looks like inside and the atmosphere at home. A house becomes a home when you create a homely and loving atmosphere in it. Well, it certainly applies to the house of the Father. Then you shouldn't just think of a space without character. No, it really is Father's house. It's the house where everything speaks of Father, of his love and fellowship. An incredible place to be, full of his glory. Beloved, the Father's house is said to have many dwellings, or rather, many mansions, or rather, dwellings, or rooms. Are we to think of heaven as a giant apartment complex? No, remember, Jesus is using figurative language here. The point is that Christ is going away to prepare a place for his followers. And that in that place, there is ample room for all his people. That's why he speaks of a house with many rooms. Father counts on a huge family. With his death, Christ will redeem a multitude so vast they would need a house with many rooms. Or as we see in John's vision of the New Jerusalem, a city of breathtaking proportions. Had God not promised that the number of Abraham's spiritual seed would be like the sand of the seashore and like the stars in the sky, Genesis 22 verse 17. Revelation 7 speaks of a great multitude that no one can number. Well, in case the disciples or you are afraid that there would be no room for you, Christ says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Such a fear in them, in the disciples and in us, would be perfectly understandable. How can we expect to live in Father's house? But he sets all such fears aside. In John 17 verse 24, Christ makes his wishes even clearer when he prays to the Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory. Even though the Lord is going away, his followers will see him again. And then in full glory, as the Son at home with the Father. And not only will they see his glory, he will give them the glory the Father has given to him. John 17 verse 22. We will then look like him. We will share his space. Share his blessedness, and above all, share in the Father's love and fellowship. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is going away to prepare a place for us. What does he mean by this? Does he still have to bring Father's house in order? Part of the answer is that he is going to secure a place for us in his Father's house. We have no title to it of ourselves. Our title derives it entirely from him. He will earn that title by his death. He is about to give his life on the cross. as a ransom for you and me, to pay our way, our passage to Father's house. What can be lacking in his Father's house? As the Lord spoke to his disciples, there was, of course, still one thing lacking. And that was the presence of Jesus Christ himself, the incarnate Son, the slain Lamb, was not yet in the center of the throne. Revelation 7 verse 17. Yet with that very departure, which the disciples dreaded, that preparation would be complete. He would then sit at the right hand of his Father in glory as our Saviour and Advocate. How is Christ then today working in heaven to prepare a place for us? Among other things, by constantly pleading our cause with the Father. The Catechism calls him our Advocate in heaven before the Father. Well, what a reassurance it is here on earth when you have a good advocate to plead your case before the judge. You know that your case is in expert and safe hands. Well, how much more does it not apply regarding our heavenly advocate? Eternal interests are at stake here. And what advocate do we not have in heaven? Our very Lord Jesus, who first ransomed us, who entered our human life to set us free. He stands there before the Father with the sacrifice he brought for our sins as the Lamb of God. He has something on which he can rightfully plead. When I stumble for the umpteenth time and offend and anger God with my sins, then Jesus Christ appears before his Father and says, Father, do not be angry with him or her. Do not punish him or her. You have already punished me. I have already atoned for their sin. Forgive him or her on the basis of my sacrifice. Beloved, Christ may constantly claim his rights before the Father. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. I want them to follow me and to share in your love and fellowship together with me as my brothers and sisters. Father, I have a right to it because I paid the full price for it. What a comfort to such an advocate in heaven. Your interests are well looked after. No sin or weakness which still remains in us against our will can prevent us from being received by God in grace and for being made worthy partakers of that heavenly glory. Christ's own homecoming in Father's heavenly presence guarantees our glorious homecoming. And now the second point, Christ is not only in heaven, no, through his Spirit, Christ is with the church and works on earth. In John 14, Christ regularly speaks of going away and coming back. And that coming back generally refers to Christ's return on the last day. In verse 18, this seems to be different. There Christ says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In the direct context, Christ seems to be referring to his coming in the Spirit at Pentecost. In the preceding verses, Christ says that he will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus will not leave the disciples to battle alone here on earth. He will not leave them defenseless, as defenseless orphans in the face of tribulation. No, he'll be with them in their trials through the Spirit. In verse 23, Christ even goes a step further. When he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make a home with him. Note especially those last words, and we'll come to him and make a home with him. We, that is Jesus Christ and the Father. As the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer, so also the Father and the Son do so through the Spirit's presence. And this is not something to be reserved for the distant future at the consummation. No, this is a wonderful reality here and now already for all who believe. Yes, this presence of the Father and the Son in believers offers an anticipation of how it will be later, of God's perfect and complete indwelling in the believers in the new heaven and earth. Then God will indeed be all in all. Yet we shouldn't defer this reality to later. Christ promises it to his followers here and now. Through the Spirit, both the Father and the Son come to us and make their home with us, so to speak. Compare this to what Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 9 and 10. There Paul writes, I quote, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice how Paul here equates having the Spirit of Christ, if indeed the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, having the Spirit of Christ, and having Christ in you, And if Christ is in you, through his Spirit, Christ is in the believer and empowers the believer. Yes, there is more of heaven on earth to be obtained than many Christians realize. In Psalm 25, verse 14, the Lord already promised the secret or friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God seeks a close and loving covenant relationship where secrets are shared, so to speak. And then we have the words of that text, John 14, verse 23. We will come to him and make our home with him. Well, brother and sister, do you experience this closeness of the Father and the Son through the Spirit? Do you experience their presence in your life? How is it, it is sometimes asked, that many professing believers seem to have so little joy and peace in their life of faith? Could it be that there is often so little deep love for God the Father and for Jesus Christ? Could it be that there is often so little time for God in our lives? Notice that Jesus speaks about reciprocal love in John 14. Take verse 21. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we'll come to him and make our home with him. When you humbly and lovingly walk with God, stay close to him, you will experience a deeper sense of God's presence and power. The Father and the Son promised to come to the believer and make their continual dwelling in him. For those who believe, this is something you may experience during this life already. Be it in different degrees, with its ups and downs, you don't always experience that intensity, the intensity, that unity with Christ and God, or his presence. That's what's ups and downs in Christian life. But that's what's so important, to consciously flee to Christ, flee to God, again and again, to truly trust in him. Well, note the condescension of the Father and the Son, and the high privilege of us believers. No matter how poor or lowly you may be, if you have faith and love God, you have the best of company: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Christ and the Father then dwell in your heart. You are never alone and cannot be poor. You are the temple of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beloved, through his Spirit, Christ is with his church and works here on earth. In John 14, Christ indicated that while the world will not see him anymore after his departure, his followers will see him, and that he will manifest himself to them. Christ even spoke of greater works that would be done because of his ascension. Do you recognize Christ's presence and works here on earth? Well, how did the Christian church arise in this world? From all peoples and languages. Who brought all those people to faith? Those people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. Who equipped the apostles, the missionaries, the ministers to spread the good news across the globe? Was it not the Son of God, Jesus Christ, through his Spirit? During Christ's earthly ministry, before his death and resurrection, you didn't see anything like that yet. Even though he did perform many signs and wonders. Only after Christ poured out his Spirit at Pentecost did the gospel advance with power to the ends of the earth. And throughout the centuries, the church has been hated, persecuted, threatened. Without Christ's divine presence, the church would have disappeared long ago. The very fact that you believe in God and his Son Jesus Christ, and you do, don't you, is a proof that Christ is working here on earth through his Spirit. The Spirit's mission is to put Christ in the limelight, to advance Christ's cause. The Spirit reveals Christ to us. The Spirit glorifies Christ. The Spirit applies Christ's merits to our hearts. The Spirit empowers us to live and to work as Christ's representatives here on earth. Hence, when the Spirit is poured out, Christ is present, actively present here on earth. Well, beloved, it's clear that the Lord did not abandon us through his ascension. The very opposite is true. He returned to Father's heavenly presence for our salvation, to prepare us for glory, for our glorious homecoming. The fact that he is physically in heaven can make us feel uneasy or uncertain, as it did the apostles. How will it continue with us and our children? We don't always see a way clear in the future. In this life, we can sometimes feel like strangers wandering in a big, threatening city. But the Lord Jesus does not let us wander around in the dark. He points to the glorious destination of all his own. All those who believe, the Father's house. He also points to the way to the Father's house. He points to himself, the way, the truth, and the life. When you believe in him and love him, you will be loved by the Father, and you'll be most welcome in Father's presence. He extends his hand to you. He wants to guide you and protect you through his Spirit and Word. And in the end, Christ will return. And then the great feast can begin. The marriage feast of the Lamb. Amen.